You're listening to a podcast made the Johnsonville way.
Brought to you by the Actors Equity Association of Chicago on WBBM Radio Network.
And that right there was Kyle, our guest today. We're going to use that, so thank you for that, Kyle.
No copyright infringement. Please don't call it.
Okay, good. Now that we've got that out of the way. So we're just going to jump into it today, folks. No banter between me and Krista today because we're frankly sick of each other.
We're going to get like letters now.
That's right.
Emails.
If you hate it, let us know. If you love it, let us know too. All right, Kyle, now that you've joined us here and you're sitting here comfortably, why don't you tell us a little bit about your Johnsonville story?
My Johnsonville story. Okay. Well, I guess
you can go back as early as you need to, like to help you lead up into it.
College, et cetera.
Well, then we'll go full circle. So I grew up in a I grew up on a farm about 2 hours south of Chicago, in a little town called Ancona or Streeter, depending on where you're coming from. You guys are from Wisconsin, so you have no idea what I'm talking about.
Not at all.
But I grew up on a farm primarily with Angus cattle, but I also raised show barrows from the time I was, 8 until 19 or 20. So,
what is that?
It's you competitively showing pigs. A barrow is a castrated male, like a steer would be for a cow. A barrow is for a pig.
Thank you.
And so I've been around the hog industry a good chunk of my life. In fact, back-to-back 2002, 2003 reserve grand champion at the Illinois State Fair, but that's neither here nor there. So I grew up on a farm, was very hands-on in the ag industry. My dad still farms. My little brother is the livestock judging coach of Iowa State University. We're very... My uncle is the regional manager of the Angus Association, so we're a very big agriculture family, and then I went to college, and I enjoyed growing up the way I did. I really did, because I got to experience a lot of things that most kids wouldn't. I went to a really small school, graduating in class of 50, so we had to do all the sports and extracurriculars, otherwise we wouldn't have them. There was benefits to growing up the way I did, but I will say when I was ready to go to college, I was like, I'm done with this for a while. I'm going to go a different route. I was recruited for musical theater. I know both ends of the spectrum there is a little strange, but, I was recruited there, scholarships, and, I went out, I graduated in 2009. So I went there for 5 years from 2004 to 2009. And then I moved to New York City the day after I graduated, and I was out in New York City until about 2012, I believe. And then my wife was actually offered a job in the town called Bourbonnais, Illinois, where we live now, to be in charge of the theater and fine arts department academy of a local school district. And that's a job that doesn't come up very often, so I told her, yeah, I mean, it's an hour away from where I grew up. That's easier move for me than it is for you. So we moved back. The problem was I had a really awesome job in New York, and I was leaving that. And so I was moving back to Illinois with no job, no leads, no nothing. Beischer and Kirsten Beischer, they work in our Moments facility in shipping and...
sensory, right?
Yeah, sensory. She's in charge of QA and all that. Well, she's her and Jitender are in charge of QA. And I've done multiple shows with Rob, and Johnsonville would actually sponsor a sausage dinner at one of the companies I work for every summer. And so I got to know Augustine, and I'd heard many different times, like, oh, you need to come work if you get a chance, you know, look into here because it's a great place to work and all these benefits. And I've been trying to get into Johnsonville for 2 years, maybe even longer. I actually applied for the job that Lisa Flemons has right now and didn't get it. And then Rob is like, I'm sorry you didn't get it. However, there's a job that I think you'd be perfect for. Not that you couldn't do that, but like you'd be perfect for. Apply for that. So I applied for that and ended up getting that. And so so I've been there since October 1st. So I'm still relatively new, but the onboarding and orientation for me did not feel as isolating as a lot of new jobs. So, and been here since then. So,
and what's the role?
I'm a harvest learning coordinator, part of CI. We're still searching for a CI coach. So that's why right now I'm doing a lot more with member services because Justin's my intern coach. But I should have said that. Yes, I'm the harvest learning coordinator at Moments Packing Johnsonville Look Campus, and I couldn't be happier. I'm thrilled. I mean, this is. I like work. I mean, it's just interesting to see how, 19-year-old, I don't want to do anything with agriculture anymore. And then math later, 33-year-old kind of like, this is a great place to help my family, and I'm familiar with the hog industry and blah, blah, blah. It's just interesting to see how it came full circle. And, all my family back home, they were happy with any job I got, but they were just like over the moon. My dad was just like, you're working for Johnsonville. Oh, man, that's a great company. Don't screw this up, Kyle. I said, I try not to.
So you mentioned Justin, just for listeners, if you want to check his episode out, that's Justin Hensley.
Yes,
he
very
came
good.
On, talked about the difference.
Bears.
Yeah, the sort of rivalry between Illinois and Wisconsin Cubbies. Sports. Yeah.
It's a good listen. It really is, regardless of what teams you root for. Because he's actually a Sox fan, which is, it's okay. At least he's not a Cardinal fan, so it's okay.
Interesting.
But in a very long-winded way, that's how kind of came full circle back to Johnsonville, and I couldn't be happier. I mean, I'm doing air quotes, you can't see, but most people have been very helpful and very accommodating and very friendly, and, my benefits help with my family. Like, I even got my wife a raise because we're going on my plan here, so she's not paying out so much. She's getting bigger paycheck. Like, there was just so many things working out, not just for me, but for my immediate family. And, I'm very, very happy to be here, and I hope to be here until I retire.
All right, Kyle, as you mentioned, you were recruited then for theater or what?
Yeah.
Help us.
Well,
where
there's
this whole thing starts.
When you are, it's a little bit of a different quote unquote recruiting process for theater or fine arts, whether you're an artist or music or whatnot, than it is for sports. For instance, with theater, you go and you audition for programs, and then you go, like, I went to a bunch of different schools and auditioned for a bunch of different programs, and then pending whether they like you or not, then they come back at you with offers. It's because, with football or basketball, it's fairly simple. You send in your highlight reels, or they come watch games and things like that. It's just a little bit tweaked. So Western was the one. Western Illinois University is where I went, and they were the only state school in Illinois that had a musical theater program, and didn't have to pay for private school type money. Mm-hmm. And I was like, this is perfect, because the guy who was running, his name was Marcus Olson. He was a Broadway veteran who was in some original Broadway musicals done by Stephen Sondheim. And if you don't know who that is, he's one of the top musical theater composers of all time. So it wasn't like just some schlub place in Macomb, Illinois, out in the middle of nowhere that didn't know what they were doing. I was able to make a really good decision and a nice financial decision on top of that. So that's kind of how that process went. And then they give you specific talent grants and money each semester, as long as you're maintaining, certain grades. And I was very fortunate, because not only was it a state school with state tuition, as a male, usually when you think theater, if we're talking the layman, and I'm not trying to insult anyone, but you think, your high school musicals, you're trying to get any guys to come out so they can do a show.
Yeah.
And in the grand scheme of things, you know, usually you don't have issues getting people. Well, at my school, it was the complete opposite. I'm not making this up. It was a complete opposite. We had more guys than girls by quite a lot. There were more straight guys that played sports than anything else. We got to do shows like 1776 or Take Me Out, that are male heavy. Because a lot of people don't understand that theater and musical theater is actually catered more towards men than it is women. And I'm not saying that like misogynistically. It's just there's more characters. There's more. It's starting to trend making things balance out. But like, I believe that my school figured that out and they wanted lots of guys to come so they could do things. And we had lots of women. We had lots of talented women. My God. I got a couple friends who have done things on some of my girlfriends. Well, not girlfriends, but girlfriends that done stuff on Broadway. We had a really, really strong group of people the 5 years that I was there, male, female, dancer, non-dancer, straight acting, musical theater, you know, all encompassing. I was so very, very fortunate to be where I was for the time period I was. I learned a lot, whether it was failure or success. I learned an awful lot about the business. I also learned how a theater degree, because my degree, I have a bachelor's in musical theater, and how you can use a theater degree to encompass most jobs in the workplace. And I know that sounds, I see you guys raising your eyebrow. you take, and this is one thing that my wife and I instill in our acting students, the skills that you're developing, whether you have high school musical theater classes or theater classes in high school, or if you take some in college, you're learning not only, yeah, if you want to do a show, yeah, I get that, but you're learning communication skills. You're learning teamwork skills. You're learning how to public speak. You're learning how to collaborate. You're learning all these types of techniques that can be fit in any sort of job, like marketing or recruiting or hands-on. Like if you're building sets, then there's so many things that people don't understand that can translate into so many other jobs. That doesn't necessarily mean I have to be on Broadway or I have to act for everything to pay my bills, you know. So and that was one of the biggest things I took away from any of the acting tricks or fun shows I did, which is great and helped me with my career. But that was one thing to understand, that use what we're giving you, the tools in the toolbox that we're giving you, to not just with theater, open your mind to lots of different things. Because, you know, not everyone, it's a tough racket. I know I don't have to tell you that. Not everyone gets to be successful. You can't just walk into Broadway and be like, I'm here, hire me. It doesn't work that way. But, yeah, oddly enough.
Darn it.
But, you know, you have to be able to use your skills to find something to support yourself until that day that you can say, hey, I just need to act to pay my bills. And that doesn't happen. I mean, I work for Johnsonville in the morning and I do shows at night. I'm fine with that. I'm thrilled about that because I get to do two things that I get to love. But, you know, it's just like trying to make the MLB or the NFL or the NBA. It's a very small margin. However, being a professional actor doesn't necessarily mean you have to be on Broadway. There's theaters all over the country that pay their actors. Some, yeah, I'll give you $50 for the show, and some of the equity minimum. I mean, there's lots of different ways to act and to be quote unquote successful in an acting career that doesn't necessarily mean you have to be on Broadway every night. And that was taught amongst all the other stuff that we had to learn. And I found that to be extremely valuable because I was very successful as a teacher. I'm very successful in my current role because of a lot of the background I've had. And just being able to talk to people, mm-hmm. especially in the role that I have at my campus, you know, you'd be surprised at how, especially now in the days with the age of, you know, you can't see it at home, but I'm picking up my phone and scrolling through it. You know, you've got tablet kids is what I like to call them. And I'm not that old, but like I was able to see, like, I went outside and played in the dirt, but I also saw the rise of the internet. We're mm-hmm. Generation Y right before, I'm the end of Generation Y right before the millennials. And, you know, simple things, in my opinion, like just being able to talk to someone are going by the wayside. And luckily, I have my theater background to thank for being able to be a good teacher when I was in the school system, or be a good trainer or resource for my members at my facility now. And then go home, put the kids to bed, and head over to rehearsal and do whatever show I'm doing. You know, it's all encompassing, and I hope more people in the future see that and see the value in fine arts. Now, I'm not stupid. I know that basketball teams, football teams, and I played sports. I played sports my entire life, even, you know, up into college, and I love them. And I also understand that they're always going to get the preference, which is understandable for society. However, I just hope that in the future, and we're starting to get that way with musicals that are being mainstream, like Hamilton. I don't know if you've heard, at least heard of it.
Yeah.
You know, we're starting to get that. Because if you look back into the 30s, 40s, and 50s, and 60s, your big sources of entertainment as far as cinema were West Side Story, Fiddler on the Roof, South Pacific. These were big blockbuster movies, and that was the norm. And I'm not saying we have to go back to that, but, you know, everything, whether it's fashion, cinema, everything comes back around. And it's interesting to see. I think we're starting to get that way, and I'm hoping we do, because, you know, it's, in my opinion, it's the theater kids that are going to be the more go-getters, whether it's a job for theater or, hey, I need to get a job to support myself. You know, they're going to be the ones that are going to have the good interview skills and things like that. So, so yeah, I mean, that's another long-winded way getting around my college. But I did learn a lot from it.
I think that's an interesting perspective, though, because when you think about some of the classes we take through Johnsonville, like Crucial Conversations.
With Darren.
Role-playing.
Absolutely.
You're role-playing through the whole class, and it's teaching you those interpersonal skills. And that's a good point. I never would have thought of it that way.
Yeah.
Yeah, the world's a stage, like Shakespeare said. It's true. We're just all performing all the time, whether it was a physical audience or not. And it's funny, I even told Darren, I said, I can't wait to take your Crucial Conversations class. That's going to be awesome. But, yeah, there's just so many things more than, oh, look at all those pretty costumes, and they sound really great, that encompasses theater. And, you know, most of your favorite actors, your Johnny Depps, your Ian McKellen's, Patrick Stewart's, Christian Bale, Anthony Hopkins, they're classically trained actors. They went through the theater system. And, you know, Wolverine, Hugh Jackman, his degree's in musical theater. Like, that's where he started. Like, it just, everything's all encompassing. And it's starting to come back around, which I think is kind of cool. And I'm aware that not everyone's going to like it, and you don't have to. But to deny the fact that those are skills that are taught in fine arts classes and things like that is asinine and, quite frankly, in my opinion, scary, especially with the age of technology that we're moving into. But I'm going to get off my soapbox.
So I do have the question of, you said that the day after you graduated college, then you moved to New York, right?
I did.
Now, I in my mind, and again, this is more maybe just a different perspective.
Which is great.
Like, if you were an actor, wouldn't you want to do movies? But you went to New York, went to East Coast, and did the theater thing. Now, can you talk on that as far as, like, the difference between the two or your love
of
one or the other?
I sure can. Well, we were talking off the clock early on. Like, I have a musical theater degree because I wanted to do what was going to make me the most employable, because we had to take all the classes, stage combat, singing, dancing. I wanted to be as marketable as possible. I have done some films. I've done some background act. I've done independent films. I've done I've done acting for the camera before. I will say the biggest reason I moved to New York is because my girlfriend at the time was living out there.
Gotcha.
And
the things you do for love.
Well, and, and 10 years later, she's my wife with two kids.
Oh, well, that's a happy story.
Yeah, sure. I haven't made a decision in 10 years, but, you know, that's fine. No, I'm teasing. But in case she's listening. But I went out there because my skill set is, and I'm not trying to, you know, be pompous or anything, but if I had to say what's Kyle's strength is musical theater. If someone offers me a short spot on a commercial or something like that, doesn't mean I'm like, oh, I'm too scared, I can't do it. But, like, my strengths would be in musical theater, and the majority of that is East Coast. But there is a lot of TV out there. NBC headquarters is there. I've done some, you know, background work for major films that would film out there. So, I mean, it's not as big as in L.A., so I get what you're saying. But there is a cinema scene out there. But the reason being was because, A, my wife was out there. She already had a place, so I didn't have to worry about trying to find a place, which was kind of nice. And, B, there was more theater that would add to my strengths at the time. Well, even now, but didn't mean I didn't shut the door on anything, but it just kind of made more sense at that point. And I do have friends who left for L.A. and are still out there. My buddy Jason, he actually writes for New Girl. And I've got my friend Sam out there. He does a lot of film work. So, I mean, like, I do have friends that went that route. But I just wanted to go where my skill set would be more useful.
Fair enough. No,
and
sense.
I'm not, I know you can't see this at home, but I'm a short, fat, ugly, hairy guy. And that doesn't translate well for films unless you're Zach Galifianakis. And he already claimed that part. So,
one roll up there. He's monopolized.
So, yeah, it'd be a lot harder for me, to break into stuff. That's why I love people like Steve Buscemi and Zach Galifianakis. If they can do it, I can do it. But no, it's easier, quote unquote, for me to use my strengths more towards theater because, you know, there's ensemble roles, I was just playing to my strengths more. So, and it helped that my now wife was already out there. And I always said, you know, even before I met my wife, that I was going to give New York a try because I didn't want to go the rest of my life like, well, what if, but, you know. Yeah. It's as cliche as it sounds. It just made it a little easier. Like, oh, she's already out there, has a place. Well, yeah, let's. Mm-hmm. What's stopping me? But yeah, I mean, I've done things cinematically in the past.
Sure.
What I think is cool about theater, though, is that you can kind of semi do it locally. It's, you know, if you're in movies, you're always traveling. If you're in theater, you can do that anywhere, really.
Mm. Absolutely.
Our former co-host, Joe, was very heavily involved in local theater and musical theater, yep. Directing, acting. That's why I kind of wish he was here. He would really enjoy this interview.
Yeah, and there are other members at Johnsville who I know are part of theater groups and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a nice thing to do outside the work. Because
but it's something
it is
you can do
different.
At night and come home to your family and still make mm-hmm. a little bit of money doing mm-hmm. it.
Absolutely, absolutely. And you know, there's so many aspects, and that's the other thing. There's so many aspects of it. You can work if you're not comfortable on stage. You can work backstage. You can build sets. Mm-hmm. I'm fight choreographer. There's, you know, and choreographer for dancing. There's so many things you can do and still be encompassing in the whole realm of what the constraints of theater is. You know, and I met my wife. We were both hired in a summer stock theater company in Montana. That's where we met. I mean, in the middle of Virginia City, Montana. So, I mean, you're absolutely right when you say you can do that anywhere as opposed to the majority of your filming is either going to be in California or
New York.
Or London or Toronto or what have you. Doesn't mean that, Chicago, yay. <There's> I'm kind of in a good spot still for both. That's the good thing. it's a little bit more accessible. And I feel like, even in cinema too, there's things. There's mic operators. There's editing. There's even whatever route you want to go. It doesn't necessarily mean you have to be in front of the camera or on the stage. And that's one thing that I stress to our students that I have is like, look, you know, you're in this acting class and you may not like it, but you know, you're at least getting that experience and you're gonna know. All right, I tried this, don't like it, but I really like this.
Mm-hmm.
So I always think. Encourage people to try lots of stuff. And like if I'm directing a show, I don't know that much about lights, so I'll hire someone that that's really good with that because I want my show to be good. You know, it's just a matter of getting that mindset at a young age, so if they do continue things, well, they're always, and I always tell you, no matter if you do another show or not, you're always going to do theater because when you're in that interview, you're selling yourself and it's a performance. When you're mm-hmm. doing that presentation mm-hmm. for the CEO, guess what? It's a performance, whether you like to think at it or not. You know, so it's just making sure that all avenues are explored is one thing that I like to do.
Do you have like a dream gig?
clearly Broadway. I was
but
close.
Like a show? Like, is there a show that if you could do any show, that's what
if
do?
There's a show? Well,
or like a role in a show, yeah.
I've been very fortunate. I've got to do a couple of my bucket list roles. I was Quasimodo last year in The Hunchback of Notre Dame, and as an ugly, fat, white guy, it kind of just worked out.
You
can laugh.
It's
a joke. You can laugh.
Was...
I got to play Monsieur Thénardier in Les Misérables a couple summers ago, and my wife played Madame Thénardier, which was one of her bucket list roles, so that was kind of cool that we got to do together.
They're the ones who own the shop. They're the
Correct.
Funny
the
people,
masters
right?
of the house, yeah. Yes, absolutely.
I've seen that, actually. Humble brag here, humble brag. I've seen it twice, actually. One in Chicago and one in New York, actually.
Get out of here. Yeah, I was. Nice. Yeah, my wife and I got to do a summer stock production where we played the Thénardiers, which was really cool. There wasn't much acting in that because she just is used to yelling me at them. But there is...
It's called drawing from real life.
Correct. Correct.
Art imitates life.
Fair enough. There, the problem is I found out, unfortunately, that beer and wings taste better than how skinny feels, and my waistband has gotten a lot larger with my roles, and I was kind of joking about this earlier. It's interesting to see if you look at my resume how many pretty ingenues I played in late teens, early 20s, and now I'm the funny character actor. But because there's some roles,
you know, it displays your range is what you yeah, yes.
Thank you.
Yeah. I can play both. Yes, yes.
So there are a couple bucket list roles that I don't think I could play just because of my look. And that's a reality of any sort of acting theaters. Mm-hmm. That if you don't look the part, they're not even going to consider you. I mean, one I haven't done that I would like to play that I'm just, I would like to play Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde in the musical Jekyll and Hyde. I would like to play Sweeney Todd in Sweeney Todd. I've been in a production of Sweeney Todd. Actually, my wife was Mrs. Lovett and I was Pirelli. Also another character played by Sacha Baron Cohen because he played Thénardier in the movie and Pirelli in the movie of Sweeney Todd, but I would like to play Sweeney Todd sometime before I die. And another bucket list role that's kind of a cliche old school one, but my wife and I were talking about the other day because we went and saw Fiddler on the Roof in Chicago. It's actually in Milwaukee right now. I wouldn't mind playing Tevye when I get older. That was a good show, and it's a role, and his wife Golda, she'd like to play at some point. And I'd really like to play the Baker in Into the Woods at some point, which James Corden played in the movie.
Okay.
Look fairly similar. Drawn from that
you
same
can,
pool.
You could do that, yeah.
But I'd also, but I mean, if we're going outside of musical theater, I would love to play Demetrius in Titus Andronicus. I'd like to play Iago in Othello. I wouldn't mind playing Macduff in Macbeth at some point, or I'd like to be Willie Loman in Death of a Salesman. If we're going, you know, there's lots of different things I'd like to play, but I have to take what comes, you know.
Sure.
Anything that pays at this point, beggars can't be choosers. And anything you do pro bono has to look better on the resume. Like if I'm getting asked to do a community theater production, I'm not trying to sound pompous, but it has to be something that's going to pad the resume to use that kind of time to not be paid. It needs to be something that you can grow from. So, I mean, there's a lot that goes into choosing productions and what companies you want to work for. And I've worked a lot up in Chicago. I'm currently still a company member of the Underhill Shakespeare Company of Chicago. And now since I've had kids, there's a lot of stuff that I've had to, I'm not doing as much in Chicago as I used to, but, you know, you do what you can. Cause I still get calls and some I have to say no to, and you also have to learn when to say no, you know, and that sucks. And, you know, and you're also, you talk like, oh, when something comes, you know, yay. But you also have to know, you know, your limitations and when, and it's okay to say no. It doesn't mean, you know, as long as you don't say, oh, screw you guys, no. But, you know.
Don't burn any bridges.
Exactly. As long as you're not burning bridges, you know, because unfortunately there's been, God, especially, I love my kids, don't get me wrong. But the past 3 years I've had to say no a lot. And that's okay because it's good to know that, you know, you're still wanted, but, you know, priorities change. But it was a decision my wife and I, you know, came to, like, you know, I'm gonna have to take a hiatus from a lot of stuff up in Chicago, but I luckily live in a community where there's a lot of theater within a 50-mile radius because I don't live that far from Chicago. And I still, you know, I'll go up, like in October I was doing Rocky Horror Picture Show and Romeo and Juliet up in Chicago at the same time, but I was playing Meatloaf's character in Rocky Horror, who was only in one scene, and I was playing Paris in Romeo and Juliet, who was only in two scenes. So it can work. You just have to be sure that, you know, you're not overbooking yourself and that whatever priorities you have are taken care of before you make those decisions. And doesn't make them easy, but, you know, the longer I do this, the easier things get.
I think having a wife who understands and is kind of part of that world too helps, you know,
it
having
definitely
her like,
helps.
Yes, this is worth it, you know, and she kind of understands and helps you through a lot of that.
And
too.
not that I don't, if she wasn't, I don't think she wouldn't be supportive, but I can't agree with you more. It helps tremendously. You know, she is the chair of the theater department for a local school district. So she's constantly, you know, she's at work from 7 to 7 because anything that has to do with drama or theater, she's in charge of. She's got her hands in. So it does it does help. Doesn't make it any less tiring sometimes, but yes, it does help.
Sure.
So we have three icebreaker questions that we always ask off mic, but I actually want to ask one of them on the show. And one is, and
I have to repeat everything I just said.
I'm
teasing.
I'm going to tweak it a little. If they were going to make a musical production of your life, who would you want to play you?
Who would I want to play, or who's going to end up playing?
You can answer either or,
yeah,
or both.
Whichever.
Yeah.
Boy. I get a lot of comparisons to, based on look, to a guy in the show It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Yeah, I could see that.
And I don't know the characters' names.
That's why there's Google.
I don't.
Does his
actually
voice sound like that?
No.
No,
oh, okay.
It's a look.
It's a look. Now that you're saying that, yeah.
And I don't watch the show, but
I wouldn't say
tell me
based on looks, though. Who would you, like a really good caliber actor?
Well,
that
because
you would
that's a subjective question, because if it's going to be a musical, obviously.
Yes.
And I have to find someone who can do that and also semi looks like me.
Mm-hmm.
Well, like I said, based on look, based on look alone, there's this guy who is in Always Sunny in Philadelphia. As soon as you
Rob McHenley.
Oh. We'll show him. Is that who it is?
Yeah, that's who it is.
Okay,
yeah.
I can see it.
There's only one. I mean,
yeah. But if I had to choose, it would probably be they'd probably cast Jonah Hill.
The old Jonah Hill.
The old Jonah Hill. Sadly, honestly,
he kind of goes back and forth between the old and the new.
I would choose John C. Reilly, if you guys know who that is.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, he's awesome.
Love John C.
He was in Chicago.
Yes, he was. He was Amos in Chicago. Got an Oscar nomination for that, actually. That's a good for you. I'm so happy for you,
Kristen. I was
a
music major in college. I grew up around singing and instruments.
Well, we were talking off the radio or off the mic
radio
about Little Women, a show I just completed, and she knows all about Little Women, which was nice. And then she's all full of surprises for me. But probably John C. Reilly, because the man can sing. He's an Oscar-nominated actor. He's a very good actor. He's kind of goofy-looking like me, but not like Steve Buscemi goofy-looking, but, you know, the non-traditional. And, Christian Bale could transform, and that he can't.
Because Christian
Bale. Yeah, he can sing. Ian McKellen would be great, but he's too old.
Take this as a compliment.
Or James Corden. I wouldn't mind him either.
Jack Black.
He's just a little old to be me.
I love Jack Black. Well, sure. I mean, yeah.
Okay, so, but yeah.
Throw a beard on him.
That's,
well, he's,
yeah,
got a
he's
huge
got
beard
a huge
right
one.
Now. So, Tenacious D is hardcore right now. So.
Yes. Well, so, yeah, I guess you could go James Corden, you could go Jack Black, you could go John C. Reilly. Those would probably be the ones be best. Or Hugh Jackman, obviously. Because I look just like him.
So if they were making a movie, is that you'd still go down that same path?
I would do John C. Reilly probably because he does both, you know. Or Sam Rockwell, he'd be good. He
I
does
love
both.
Sam Rockwell, yeah, he, very versatile.
But he's a lot prettier.
Can he sing?
He can. He's
really?
Actually playing Bob Fosse in a new FX series coming to FX in April.
Okay.
And he and Vanessa Williams are playing Bob Fosse and his wife, which is going to be interesting because I didn't know he could sing or dance. And
he's a very underrated actor, I think. A lot of people don't
know
who he is.
And he finally
really
won
phenomenal.
An Oscar. He finally won an Oscar for Three Billboards last year.
He
should have won years ago for you name it. Did you ever see Seven Psychopaths, the movie?
I think so.
With him, Woody Harrelson, and Christopher Walken.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I mean, the man is fantastic. It's just long overdue Oscar.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. But he's a little too, he may be too pretty to play me, but if he wanted to play me, yeah, absolutely.
So when you were in New York, did you have like what do you think was your crowning achievement? Like what do you look back and be like, that was amazing.
Besides
that was
meeting your future
that right
wife
there
or
was worth everything.
Technically she was in
she
Montana.
Knew her before then, yeah.
Well, I will answer this as best I can. I was very fortunate. Even though the show, I'll be honest, even though the show that I'm going to talk to you about was not a very good show, within my first month, I was offered the lead in the longest running off-Broadway play in New York City.
Okay.
The show at the 13th Street Rep, it's been going on for now probably over 40 years, but at the time it was like 35 years. Within my first month of being there, I was offered that, which was incredible. I was literally...
And what's the name of the show?
It's a one-act play called Line by Israel Horovitz. It's a dated show. It's in the 70s. And
is that Adam Horovitz's dad?
I believe so.
I'm a huge Beastie Boys fan. So.
I don't know if it's his dad, but there's some sort of...
His dad is a director.
I was going to say, I'm not sure if it's his son, but I think there is a relation there somewhere. I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure there is a relation. But Israel, he actually came when I was in it, you know, when I was rehearsing, so that was actually helpful. The show wasn't... It's just a dated show. It's not the best show, but it's still running in New York right now, and within my first month that was offered to me. And I was literally... And this is what I tell kids, just go out and do, because I was literally... You know, I went to New York without a job, and I was literally, every day I was, all right, I'm going to take from First Avenue to Third Avenue today, going and dropping resumes off, trying to find work so I could, you know, pay bills and then start auditioning. And I walked into the 13th Street Repertory Theater, seeing if they need anyone to work the box office or ushers or things like that. And the director happened to be, and I didn't know this at the time, but she happened to be sitting in the lobby, and... He said, well, we don't have any positions open right now, but just out of curiosity, are you an actor? And I said, yeah, I just moved here. I just graduated literally last week. And she goes, well, you have the right look for a role I'm casting right now. Can you come back at 10? And 24 hours later, nice. I was hired. So as far as if you're looking at rankings of what theater is, that would be it. But I performed almost every Monday at a different cabaret venue. That was one of my big things out there, doing songs, because like it's really hard to cast. My type is really hard to cast. I'm not 6'2", blonde hair, blue eyes, ingenue. But you know, I performed at Don't Tell Mamas, the UC Lounge, Uncle Charlie's Piano Bar, the Metropolitan Ballroom was a big crowning achievement. I can't believe I was in there. In fact, they probably were upset that I was. and then I played Daddy Warbucks and Annie at the Staten Island Sunnyside Children's Theater. But also my day job there was if we're talking about achievements in general, I worked as a bellboy and worked all the way up to head concierge within a couple months. And I worked, and then working behind the front desk, I was able to, the hotel I worked at wasn't necessarily just a hotel, it was a private members club / hotel for celebrities to come and relax and not have to be by paparazzi. And we were trained on how to deal with celebrities to not fan out or geek out and things like that. So I got to meet a lot of celebrities. I got to meet, which was kind of cool if you're into that thing. And luckily, because I was trained to not freak out, it actually made that more enjoyable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we all got like a couple mulligans. Like we had to list down like 5 actors, singers, whatever, that if we do mess up, we're not in trouble for. But, you know who Eddie Redmayne is? Mm-mm. You saw Les Mis, the movie?
Yeah.
He was the Marius, the guy who ends up marrying Cosette. He's you know Harry Potter.
Mm-hmm.
What's the Beasts movie, the new ones?
Yeah, oh,
Fantastic Beasts. He's the lead in that.
Oh, the goofy looking guy with the red hair.
Yeah,
yeah, okay.
And the guy, he also won an Oscar for playing Stephen Hawking in Theory of Everything, and
yeah.
He was
okay.
The lead in Danish Girl.
Okay.
You know what I'm talking about? Mm-hmm. You can say no if you don't.
No, I 100% do.
I know who you're talking about, mm-hmm. Yeah.
He and I were friends for the longest time. And not, I mean, we just, our lives have, I could still email him right now and be like, hey, what's going on, Kyle? But like, just meeting celebrities and, don't get me wrong, some of them were awful. But like, just seeing them on a human level and being mm-hmm. like, oh, because, you know, as an actor, you're trying to, like, I met Will Ferrell and all these Stanley Tucci, like I've met a lot of people, and I'm not saying this to brag, I'm just trying to explain, you know, as far as we're talking successes, like I was able to, like, as a person, reel that in and be like, oh yeah, you were just like, I mean, they're obviously more successful than I am, but like you were just like me at
they
one
started
point.
Out
yeah.
somewhere like
and,
you did, yeah.
And I would say 6 times out of 10 the celebrities were nice, or you know, it was like Eddie Redmayne came to one of my shows. He invited me. He was doing, at the time before he got famous, he was brought. You know where Alfred Molina is?
No.
Do you ever Spider-Man 2, Dr. Octopus?
Yeah.
That's Alfred Molina.
Oh yeah, okay.
He's
oh,
done
very
more.
Famous.
He's actually. Done more than that. But, yes. But him and Eddie Redmayne were doing a show called Red. It was at the West End in London. It was very successful. They brought it over to Broadway, And they sent both of them over, and Eddie didn't have, he's from London. He stayed at our hotel, and he was a member of our club. And he'd just go to work, which was Broadway, go to rehearsal on Broadway, and he made friends with us because, you know, he didn't know anybody. And then he ended up winning a Tony for it, and yet he was still, and then he's like, what time's your show on Monday? Ah, I have a we're black that night. I don't have to go, like, come see it. And then he invited me and my coworker. He's like, why don't you come to the theater tonight? You come see my show. Just tell him Eddie's got two tickets for you at the box. Like, this stuff should never happen to me. And then afterwards he calls me. He's like, hey, you guys still here? Why don't you come back? Get a drink. Well, just come back to the stage door. We'll let you in. And he just brings me into the St. James Theater, and Alfred Molina standing in the robe like, oh, hello. Did you enjoy the show? Why do you care about what I feel about your show? You're so much like, it was a surreal experience living in New York, whether it was my day job or what it was with the theater. And with the things I did in theater in New York, they weren't what one would consider like, you were on Broadway this entire time, but it was successful way more than most people. And I'm humbled about that. And I thank my lucky stars for that, because some people don't even get a sniff of what I had. And I'm not saying it was the best thing, but like, between that and just, oh God, it sounds so cliche, but my coming of age in my day job. But like, there were just so many experiences that a little hog, cattle farmer son from Streeter, Illinois should have never experienced. I got to experience. I mean, things like that should never have happened to me happened. And I take everything for what it is. You know, I'm glad the person I am today is because I was able to grow up. I was never poor, but like, you know, I heard no more times than yes. To go live in New York City and be a concierge to the celebs, and like, it's made me the person I am today, because I'm able, and I'm not saying I'm better than anyone, but I was fortunate in my life to be able to do so many different things, regardless of how they came about. And, you know, I'm going to try to instill that with my kids and with my students and things like that, you know, success is whatever you think success is. You determine that. So that's kind of, again, another long-winded answer for what my best success was in New York City.
You keep referencing back to your upbringing and your parents and all this stuff. And what is their general idea of this whole thing? Were they really, what was their idea of, I mean, I'm sure your mom was a little.
Actually, you'd be surprised. My mother was an actress for a long time.
Okay.
No, but she was actually the one that got me into theater. She actually, my first show that I was ever in was a production of Gilbert and Sullivan's The Mikado when she was pregnant with me. So technically, I've been on stage since the womb. But it was, again, growing up in a small town, I was able to go play football, go do a show, go do the chores and show the pigs. And my dad, how do I put this? My dad was so supportive of me doing this, because he said, I want you to be happy. Because my dad, and the cliche of the farmer conservative, it's real for a reason, but my father is so far from that, because he, and I love my grandpa, don't get me wrong, and my grandpa and my grandma were good people, just product of their time. That would have never happened if I was my father's age. He grew up in an age where, you know, if it wasn't going to make you money, you shouldn't do it. And I love my grandpa, and my grandpa's awfully supportive, but I'm just trying to get you where you come from.
Different time, right?
But my dad was like super, super supportive. And it also helped that I was getting recruited. So
yeah, right.
But he also recognized that, oh, there's a talent there. And I don't mean to say that to be pompous, but like, if I wasn't going to be able to, quote unquote, make it, and I'm not saying I've made it, but I've been successful and I continue to be successful, whatever, how I deem success to be. He would have reined it in if I'd been like, oh, I'm going to go play in the NBA. Look, man, you know what I mean?
Right.
So, but yeah, they were both super supportive, and it may have, and that's what was, they told me. Now, internally, who knows? Because anytime you send your kid out to college, regardless of what it is, I'm sure it's not easy. Because my big brother went to Illinois Wesleyan for musical theater, and then he dropped out after his first semester to do something else. So they very easily could have been like, oh, I don't know. But they also could have been like, well, no, he's got to figure out his own stuff, and which they did. And I'm glad they did, because they instilled, growing up on a farm, instilled hard work and responsibility early on. And so there was never a conversation where my dad had to be like, well, Kyle, you need to get a job before you start doing or attempting to audition or get theater work because bills have to be paid regardless. That conversation never needed to happen because I already knew, you know, and that's what I tell kids if they want to try. I said, yeah, that's fine. Just know that you're going to have to wait tables or something for a while or because you may not ever make it, but do your due diligence first because you're only hurting yourself if you don't. Now, and some people are like the Michael Jordans and they're like, oh, from college or whatever they're picked and they've, but that's the minority. Mm-hmm. So,
right.
So that's, yeah, kind of how where they stand with that.
That's awesome that you had that support because, I mean, I know.
Most people don't.
Yeah.
Most people don't. Yeah.
Especially if you just move across the country with literally an apartment on the other side and a girlfriend.
No job.
And no real prospects. That can be scary. And they want the best for you, obviously. So it's not like they're.
It's usually out of fear that they're not supportive, right?
Exactly.
Well, and
I'm not. Well, yeah. I wouldn't say
my parents. Well, we weren't destitute, but we weren't rich. And my dad has worked hard, obviously, well, he's rich, I'm not, but he's worked hard for what he has, and he still works hard, and I will say, you know, and most kids didn't have, not only just the support, but my dad and mom even said, you know, we'll send you, I can't remember, we'll send you $500 a month so you have something until you find something.
Sure.
As long as you let us know when you do get something. And mm-hmm. I did. And because, you know, kids nowadays are like, oh, I don't have a job.
Yeah.
Right.
So, I mean, like, I was fortunate. They were as supportive as they could. And I mm-hmm. don't take that for granted because they could very easily, A, could have been like, all right, see ya. Or B, not had the means to do it, which like lots of kids do. So, I mean, I was very fortunate. And I will never not say that. I don't want to be like, well, what was me? I've never had anything. But I mean, we weren't rich by any means, but our needs were met.
Sure.
Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So you said you finished up Little Women. What's next on the horizon for you? Or are we taking a break? Or
right now, I'm waiting to hear back from my Unrehearsed Shakespeare company. They're currently doing a project with a couple different companies in Chicago where they're doing a performance of Romeo and Juliet. One company's doing one because all Shakespeare shows are five acts traditionally. I mean, five acts, which would equal two acts, what we do now. But there are five different companies. One company's doing act one, one company's doing act two.
Oh, interesting.
And once they get done with that, then they're gonna announce the season, and I'm gonna see exactly what's going on with that. Okay. I'm also starting Sunday, I start fight choreography for a theater company called Limelight Theater Works. I'm doing the fights for their production of The Outsiders. I'm actually waiting for the Switchblades to come in the mail right now. and there's a
was
couple
of... Is that a musical too?
No.
Okay,
this is the straight
say.
Play now.
Okay.
There's a possibility of You're a Good Man, Charlie Brown, but I haven't made a decision on that yet because my wife kind of wants this summer since our... We have a 5-month-old now. She kind of wants the summer to just be me and her. But if the right opportunity comes up. So there's a couple things coming up. Little Women was the big one closing yesterday, which it was fun, but I'm ready to be done with it.
Yeah.
I've got The Outsiders coming up, and then whatever I hear back from Unrehearsed Shakespeare Company, and then I'll just kind of play it by ear with a couple of the musicals that are coming up. And then hopefully... What is it? February. So hopefully around September, possibly doing an outdoor interactive production of Sleepy Hollow.
Well, that's cool.
So that's cool. I'm hoping that works out. And then they just announced the next season for the company I just did Little Women with. And nothing interests me until later on the season, which would be 2020.
Okay.
So... There's a couple things coming up, but I still have to wait to hear out a couple things before there's anything set in stone.
Sure.
I did have some people from Johnsonville come see Little Women, so if you saw it, thank you. If you didn't, you're dead to me now.
That's funny. All All right, thank you, Kyle, for joining us. I don't know where we're going to stick this in. So for those of you listening right now, we went on a random tangent that Krista either A, will edit out or not. We'll have to figure it out. But
give them what they want.
Is quite the wordsmith. Never. And I really appreciate you coming on because I wasn't sure how this was going to work. And a lot of times we have people come on and it's a boom, boom, boom facts throughout the thing. But I really appreciate you giving some insight into how things work and giving us kind of a backstage tour, if you will. You like that one? That was good, yeah. Right? Off the
see
dome.
Trademark
improv.
Depending.
An insight into what it's like to be, you know, a professional actor, and we appreciate you coming up. I know this kind of worked into your schedule, so
thanks for having me. This was fun.
It was really appreciative. So, mm-hmm.
Yeah, do you want to go ahead and sign us off there?
Sure. This is Kyle Cassidy, and you've been listening to another episode of Off the Clock, a podcast made the Johnsonville way. You don't know how long-winded I can be.